Welcome to the Too Rich to Miss podcast with your host, Mr. Too Rich, your Southern urban voice. A place where relevant, rich conversations are had with professionals, providing insight to innovative solutions that will help you move your business, career, and life to the next level. Here's your host. What the deal, everybody? Welcome to the Too Rich to Miss podcast. This week's episode, we are going to be talking about delayed gratification in another manner with a more hard focus on how to make sure that you put your wants and your needs in proper perspective. And once again, how you can systemically walk your way into success. We got a conversation again with author Adrian Scott from www.adrianfscott.com, author and speaker of the book Meetings on Top of Meetings on Top of Meetings. Let's jump right into the conversation.
The Too Rich to Miss podcast.
How to make it feel like it's a need. There's still a reason why we need it. And the majority of the things that we want sometimes relate back to status. You know, what's the reason you really want it? You know, why do you need a Mercedes-Benz again? You know what I mean? So
right.
It's like it's a car, but it also projects something totally different from just being able to drive you to the store or drive you to your job, you know? So it all goes down to we as human beings think that status is very important, whether we'll admit to it or not. Status is very important to all of us. You know, our mental capacity actually rewards, you know, because it's trying to, you know, eliminate threats and get more rewards, you know, minimize the threats and maximize the rewards, basically. So that's what our wants and our needs sometimes is all because of what we want to look like in the public eye, in front of other people. You know, you want a big house because you want your family and friends to say, oh, look at his big house.
You know? Yeah.
Some people got big giant houses and never even go into some of the rooms, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, and I fell into that trap too. And that's another reason why I brought up this as one of the conversations. And since we're in it, let's just go on to continue down this road with it. Yeah, you know, because for example, when I bought my first house, when I bought my first house in Dallas, man, to be honest with you, I really didn't realize that I could even buy, that I was even in a position to buy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I was, one of the things that me and this particular spouse at the time, you know, was doing was going out, you know, checking out the new model houses and all of that. This was right in the middle of the mortgage boom.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They were throwing out mortgages, man, like they were doggone playing cards.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can go to the dollar store and get a mortgage back then.
Right. Exactly. <You know?
laughs> It wasn't the right one, but you could, you know, but anyway. So we was out there looking all around and all of that. And just so happened to be talking to one of the guys, because there was this one particular house I ended up buying that we liked, that we, neighborhood we liked. Ended up talking to this cat, right? And the cat ended up talking to us, ended up, well, let me just go on and see where you at. And that conversation, you know how that goes. Well, let me just go on and see where you are. You know, you might not be as bad as you think. And you may be to make a deal. You just never know, And he kept talking. And one day I fell for that nonsense. And he comes back, guess you won't believe it. Get you done.
I got your food, Daddy.
look, you sold cars before, so you know how that goes. Going there with the papers. Oh my God, you won't believe what happened.
Yeah, you ain't gonna believe
we have made a way for you to get a
And so we pulled some strings. I talked to my manager. We called a couple of banks. And guess what? We can get you done.
Exactly.
Everybody else gets it done, but we can get you done.
We can get you done right now. But if you leave, you won't be able to get done. But right now, we can get you done. Yeah. But it was. Yeah, he told us we could get done. And my initial thought was, I don't want that nonsense mortgage. That's, man, them teaser rates and all of that, rates going up and all this nonsense and what eventually caused the bubble and the crash and all of that. I ain't want to pause none of that. So he was like, no, I can get you fixed. So I said, okay, cool. All right, long story short, you know, we ended up getting the house. But here's the bad part. Now, as opposed to getting the flat, one story that one of our incomes could afford at the time, because of just what you said, my lack of wanting to, I wanted to be to see, you know, folks be to say, oh man, look at Richard House. Oh yeah, man, it's not, you know, okay, you know, you know, look at this big house he got. Oh man, it's just big, brand new house. Oh yeah, this is, you know. And keep in mind also, I was 25 at the time.
Right.
You know, so I'm sitting there also thinking, I'm like, oh man, 25, hell yeah, I'm building the biggest motherfucking house. I'm gonna pay this thing off, blah blah blah. So yeah, I'm gonna get the biggest one neck about 35. This thing is gonna be out of here. I'm gonna have, you know, that was my thought.
Living the dream.
Oh God, yeah. Turn into a nightmare. Which the whole point of the conversation today and why I'm making this illustration. Because now, granted, now obviously 2020, hindsight is always 2020. But if I would have applied the principles that I'm talking about in this particular podcast and in this video, then I would still have that house.
Right.
You know, because when the shit hit the fan, and we'll just say life happens. And obviously I'm not with that wife anymore, so everybody can fill in the blanks and let your imagination run wild with that.
Right.
So, you know, so when life happened, as opposed to my one income being able to cover it, my one income couldn't cover it. And you know what I'm saying? So the late gratification, if I'd have had, and honestly, it was on the table, you know, at the time. Didn't have to get the big one. Could have got a brand new one store and it would have been greater. Just like you said, rooms that didn't go in. You know, some rooms, a couple rooms went years without being furnished. You know what I'm saying? And just like I said, some rooms didn't need hardly go in at all. You know what I mean? Dust gathering up in different parts of the crib and all that, upstairs, downstairs. Cleaning it was a pain.
Yeah.
I ended up hiring, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I ended up hiring one of the maid services.
Right. I've never done it, but I know what you're saying.
I ended up having one of them, man, they work. Oh God, man. They work great, man.
Yeah. You know,
they come through, clean everything. Oh my God. It was amazing. One of the coolest things between them, man. I thought I was living the dream for real, man. I had the doggone maid people coming. I had the lawn people, you know, shit. I had people come for every damn thing.
Yeah. You live the dream.
Once again, all the wrong things, which the whole point of me telling this story is because I ain't had to do all that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it would have made me a lot. I mean, I'm all right, but still, good God Almighty. You know, hindsight being 2020 and being able to, since I do have a small segment of the audience that does float from the 25 to 35, you know, the ones that's in that 25 to 35, and even some of the ones that's in the 36 to 45. Man, look, it's okay, you know what I'm saying, to not ball all out right out the gate.
Hey, not to mention having the heat and cool, you know what I mean, a place that size instead of picking something that was, you know, more feasible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your electric bill is higher. Everything is higher. You know, it's hot in Texas, so your AC is running all the time.
Oh man, yes Lord, yes Lord. Oh yes Lord, yes Lord. Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, and even still, I was running about I'd average it out about 200 a month. You know, but still, you know, It's just like you said, you know, the fact of not taking the time to just back up, you know, and which, exactly, and it was all the wrong reasons, you know. It wasn't no real good purpose that was into that, into doing it as well, you know, which gets back to, you know, how it can be a key to wealth. Mm-hmm. And getting back to the practical steps and the things that we had talked about for the little guy, and just to put information out there that the little guy, these small things are what helped the little guy just strategically just one day wake up and be like, I got that much money in my account. Right. Oh man, the market went up and I got, ooh, okay. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, wait, my credit score went up by another 50 points.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Amazing what happens when you don't max out the credit cards and pay them off all air money and all this type of stuff, you know.
True.
Obeying the 30% rule and all of these, you know, these little things that just add up, you know what I'm saying? So that when you do get that revolutionary idea of whatever it may be, or when you do want, or if life happens and you do have to go and do something for a family member, you know what I'm saying, a close family member really gets sick or something like that, you know what I'm saying, you're in better positions to be able to do what you do. Or if the government starts to fall apart and a black swan event happens and there's a pandemic or some shit like that.
Nah, that ain't gonna happen.
You know, just in case, you know. You know, hypothetically speaking, you know, letting our imagination run wild, you know. Just in case people just decided to run to the store and just buy all of the toilet paper for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know why people want to do that, but just in case, you know, just in case. Just in case, you know.
Yeah, there's a shortage.
You know, you will be, yeah.
Life's on.
Right. You know, you'll always be in a position, you know, to be able to do whatever's necessary.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because a lot of people are stressed out now and thinking about pivoting and can't pivot. And, you know, some folks got to homeschool their kids, man. They really don't want to homeschool their kids. And, you know, people are going back and forth, you know, I mean, and honestly, the people that I have spoken to and that I've run into that have their money together, they aren't as stressed as the people who are in the how am I going to afford this category.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a sad situation too. You know, you got a lot of people that, especially in those fields, in those types of jobs that pretty much got shut down because of COVID-19. It's a tough situation, and you kind of can feel for them. Because they're the people that's saying, hey, we need to get back to work, you know? And some of them are like, you know, I don't care if it's still out there and some people can possibly contract the disease and spread the disease and it can get worse. But it's worse now if I can't afford where I live. It's worse now if I can't afford my car. It's worse now if I can't afford to have food, or I gotta go through other methods like looking for food banks and, you know what I mean? And people out there that's been workers their whole life and now just searching around for the next food bank, and they are standing in long lines, parked in long lines, waiting just to see if they can get to the front just to get some free food. You know what I mean? It's just something that we haven't seen ever before, and you know, man, my heart goes out to everybody out there that's actually struggling, because I mean, I just happen to be in an essential personnel type environment where I gotta go to work.
Right.
It's just the opposite for me. I'm working more.
Right.
You know what I mean? Some people are not working at all, and I'm working more. You know. Right. So you know that. It's just one of those things, man.
Yeah.
Like saying, putting your money aside for a situation that could occur.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us don't like to think that far down the line. You know what I mean? It hurts to think that far down the line. What if something like this happened? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, and I'm with you. I mean, and honestly, it just kind of got to be by the luck of the draw that the bulk of what I do is essential. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So,
right.
And so it worked out, you know, and then this voiceover stuff, you know, it switched up, but thankfully I was still able to balance all out and make it work, you know, but a lot of people don't know what's going on, what to do with it, you know, and I take for granted that a whole lot of this BS that I've been through in my life, and then a lot of, especially, you know, and granted I've made a lot of mistakes along the way, yeah. You know, but in the midst of, I've understood how to deal,
right.
You know, to deal with a crazy situation that wasn't unexpected, you know what I'm saying, that I brought on myself. So when all of this is jumping off, it's just like, oh well, I mean, what's the worst that could happen? I've experienced, mm-hmm. It, you know what I'm saying, and I've overcome. So, you know, I was in a state of, it doesn't really matter. I mean, we were homeschooling already,
right?
You know, the only reason why we let the other one go to private school was just for the sake of scholarship opportunities.
Right.
But other than that, we was already homeschooling, you know, and we was already at the tail end. So mm-hmm. So anything that was already jumped out, we were already going, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we resell stuff, you know, as far as essential, the stuff that people are running out of, mm-hmm. we got tons of this stuff, man.
Right.
You know, so all of a sudden, the people who was calling my wife a hoarder and saying all about this, that, and the third, boy, you should have heard the phone. You should have heard her phone ring.
Phone just ring.
Oh, yeah. All of a sudden, folks who wasn't even talking about buying nothing, all of a sudden, customers all of a sudden, like, oh, wait, you got
hand sanitizer?
Exactly. Yeah. All them Clorox wipes and all that stuff, you know. And then she's an honest retailer, poor thing.
Yeah.
Look, she didn't get, you know, she didn't price gouge nobody or nothing.
Didn't capitalize on
no, she gave everybody just a regular retail price and all that.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good place.
I'm like, that's not how capitalism works. I said, you don't understand this is not how this is. Look, let me give you the definition. Hold on, get your phone.
And then you
got to
factor this in.
You know, but you were
saying right now.
Exactly. But in all sense, you're right. It's the right thing to do.
Yeah, it is.
Because that's once again one of the things that we do, you know what I'm saying, is reselling stuff. I mean, because she's a master with putting them coupons together. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So she'll string about four or five coupons together. Next thing you know, that a bunch of stuff is free or almost free, and she's paying tax. And it, mm-hmm. like I say, it's, you know, it's just, she's got a knack for it. But
right. But
aside from all of that, it's it still gets back to decisions, man.
Right.
And it's kind of like when I was talking about mindset last week, you know, about having a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset, because when stuff like this goes on and everything that you was doing, you can't really do it now.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
But the one thing that we do know, if you got a mortgage, I don't care what they say, you need to be paying your mortgage.
Yeah.
If you got rent, mm-hmm. I don't care what they say, you need to be paying your rent. You do not want to be one of these people. I mean, I get it. They talking about all this other, whatever they talking about. Mm-hmm. Look, if you got to be dependent on the government, mm-hmm. then make sure your landlord don't kick you out.
Yeah.
Even in the midst of it not being no fault of an individual's own, mm-hmm. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I get it, everybody can't, but, you know, but do whatever you got to do, keep that doggone rent going, because these landlords don't care about us or nobody. Right. Not just, you know, as far as us, as far as not even making it a color thing.
Right.
No, because the only thing I tell you is I find it intriguing. And there's another reason I kind of want to have these conversations about these type of things, because what this type of stuff doesn't, this stuff transcends color.
Yes, it does.
You know what I'm saying? This is not a black or a white thing. This is about managing what you see as a need versus what you see as a want, and being better with your economic situation overall.
That was the word I was going to use, economics. This is what it is.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, this is about having our economic situation right, because a lot of people get out here and try to throw these buzzwords all around, you know, and get people caught up in what I like to call the con us community. You know, I mean, where, you know, jokers, they ripping you off on one hand, and then on another hand, they're going to try to invoke and say this is about the ancestors. No. If random example, you know, to not, you know, because they sue folks and all that, but not to call out nobody specifically, but if I'm a company and I tell you I'm going to invest in something profitable to enhance the value of your investment, and you look at the report and the investments aren't profitable, you know, you kind of got a reason to look at me and say, what the hell are you doing?
Right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it is what it is, but, and yeah, we both thought as a funny investment bank, it's kind of like, well, then maybe you shouldn't have been targeting people who shouldn't have been invested. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, which gets back to the whole point of this conversation and talking about some basic things that just anybody can think about, put in place, and do consistently. It's not, you're not going to go viral, unfortunately. You're not going to get tons and tons of extra followers, unfortunately. You know, you might not hit the lottery and make a million tomorrow, but one thing for sure, if you consistently delay exercise and practice, delay gratification, and manage everything else right, when the shit comes, you will be better equipped.
Yeah, you will be. You will be. No doubt about it.
You know,
to actually... to be able to teach that, like we said once before, when we were talking about the youth and trying to get them to see some of the things like that, you almost gotta let them step out and find out. You know, everybody, you can't just tell this to and it'll be something that they lash onto and do exactly what you say. It's one of them things that they learn the hard way. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, you're gonna find out how it hurts to be broke. When you really find out how bad it is to be totally broke and you have no idea where the next dime is coming from, then you'll realize what I'm saying may have some truth to it. You know what I mean? You learn to put all this together and say, damn, that's what he was talking about.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
But when you got those safety nets and the crutches and, you know, other people's support systems and things like that, then it really don't faze you too much. You're like, hey, this is a myth. This is all fake news. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Say real stuff you talking about, man. That shit don't happen.
Exactly. You know, and I tell you, it's really and although a lot of people talk noise about him, and quite frankly, I do too. But one of the biggest things that's biggest issues with the president, current president, is he has no thoughts, or he displays no thoughts of anybody outside of his asset class.
True.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, because at the end of the day, there's only one color. green. You know, whether, you know, I mean, of course, everybody else tossed this race card around and all of that for all of their reasons. But most of these people tossing the race card around are tossing that around to get the green.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, but he is one that definitely does not show any empathy. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, and a lot, and granted, I do believe he's racist too. But just even if we take the racist part out, at the very least, we can say that he has no empathy for nobody outside of the 1%. You know, I mean, a billionaire relates to what he's talking about. And if you stop to think about some of the things he's saying, it's like, oh, okay. He would think this is a China, a Japanese virus or a China virus or whatever he said it was. He'll think that because he, even if he wasn't the president, he'll be off in on a yacht somewhere, you know, having a drone fly over him and his and all of that. You know what I'm saying? Saying quarantine life like the other guy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he is so 100% for his base. It is just amazing. You know, it's almost like, hey, it's party over here. Ain't nothing over there. You know?
Yeah.
So it's like he quickly devised everything to show that that other side is not good. And he'll make it seem like his side is for the majority of the people, which we know, like you're saying, is that 1-2%.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And they have powers of persuasion as well. And they can make even people outside of that percentage think that things are for them. You know what I mean? Even though we know it's not, you know, but they can feel that all they want. But it's just amazing to watch it, man. I think it's so, I always hated politics. I always hated the way we actually go about it, because the things that we want out of society, the things that we want out of people, we show just the opposite during a political race, during a campaign. You know, it's like we want us to be together. You want us to come together as a people, but every political race forces you to divide.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It pushes you to pick a side. And the bad thing about it is that somebody's gonna win, and somebody's gonna lose. And then when you lose, you still hold some of the same thoughts that you had before you lost. And now we're totally divided.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You're dividing the country, and we're saying that, you know, this is the way it should go. People, you know, they talk about each other. I get so tired of watching the commercials.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every one of them say that, you know, this senator, he voted to defund the police. Oh, God. You know, I know. Give me away. I mean, it doesn't even sound practical for any type of a government personnel to even talk about. They're going to defund the police. That ain't nothing they say.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, and then the whole premise is kind of, I heard somebody and it's the way they got the wording just totally off, and they used the wording to just totally take away from the whole point. The only point is that the police department needs to be restructured.
Yeah,
it doesn't need to be defunded. It needs to be reformed so that if I get pulled over, the first thing that white cop don't think about is shoot this motherfucker because he black. How about that?
How about that?
You know, or if it's like the if it's a autistic black child out and about,
right?
Want their counselor doesn't have to be on the ground with their hands up saying he's autistic. Please don't shoot him.
Right.
And then the doggone cop turn around and shoot the person saying, don't shoot the autistic person.
Right.
You know, I mean, how about we reform it to the point that if a black person is walking away and their back is to you, that how about they don't get shot in the back seven times? How about you tackle them?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I do know that they're capable of doing that. You know, it happened to one person that I know real well on this particular podcast. You know, they will tackle you. You know, I mean, I knew about 30 years ago, over 30 years ago, but, you know, I recall vividly. You know, they will tackle your ass, you know. Yeah. I'm totally in agreement with you, man. And that's, and it all ties right back in around what I'm talking about and right now with with this particular topic and what I like to talk about with the other stuff. And honestly, you know, one of the whole points behind the channel is to put out the information that balances the conversation, you know, that actually puts some practical steps out there that, you know, that's going to spark the brain, you know, to the person that's driving around or to the person that's, you know, on a shift somewhere and they got the earbuds in, you know what I'm saying? Or to the person that accidentally stumbles across it, who's looking for, you know, something different. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know, like with me, when I listen to different podcasts, even if I'm not catching everything that they're talking about, you know, the vibe and the energy will sometimes just spark me in different ideas and be like, oh, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Okay, I ain't think about that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Or just the structure of how somebody's doing something, or, you know, be like, oh, okay. Oh, wow. Okay, I can do, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so and it still all gets back to the money, you know, because if your money is right, you know, if you got enough of it, you can buy a politician. It regardless of what they say, you know, they call it campaign donations.
Yeah.
You're not physically buying them, but the game is, you know, if you donate enough to the right campaign, they will definitely make sure that they do something for you after the fact. There will be a policy in place. You might get a tax break.
Right.
That, you know, if you just so happen to have been a part of a particular class, you might just decide that they need a tax break.
Right.
Because you feel the pain of the other billionaires that, you know, surely they just, that's just what they need. They need a tax break.
It's so many problems in the world.
You know, it really is. And granted, I'm talking about it from a lavish standpoint, but, you know, but my point in saying all that is to get people to kind of come back, to look at the macro picture and then apply it to their micro situation. And understand that at the end of the day, the only person that's really going to look out for you is the person in the mirror.
That's right.
Looking back at you. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and even though to a certain degree, we can debate back and forth about whether or not the fight is fixed and all of that. But if you don't have all of the information, you know, and you fall for the basic tricks that are put out there, like being more of a consumer than having more of a balanced approach, it's inevitable for you to fail. It's kind of like, I mean, think about this, like people who hit the lottery. I was looking at, have you ever seen that show, what's that thing called? Lottery Nightmare or something like that?
I've seen a documentary or something like that.
Yeah, but
a lot of people that end up losing all of their money.
Yeah.
I think I've seen something like that.
Yeah. I remember seeing one of them back a few years ago. I found it to be amazing.
Yeah, it's not hard to do.
You know, I mean, and they were talking about one dude even got killed, buried in the backyard of his house,
mm-hmm.
and built a doggone cement slab on top of him. I was like, good God, that chick was brutal.
Yeah.
She came in, took his money, his house, killed him, and buried him in his backyard.
Yeah. I worked with a guy at the shipyard that actually hit the lottery. And
oh, yeah?
He went crazy. I mean, and from Suffolk, you know what I mean? He hit the lottery and next thing you know, the people that he always wanted to hang out with, he started hanging out with them. you know, the drug dealers and the crackheads, and then he did. And I mean, he would have limousines, just spending his money, limousines and stuff with, you know, bad people that weren't gonna do nothing but continue to spend his money. And then he ended up hanging with the wrong crowd, investing in the wrong things, and he ended up going to jail. So I don't know
where
but yeah. Probably still locked up or something. You know what I mean? Where the money is, probably spent before he
wow.
I mean, billions of dollars in the lottery, you know.
Oh my God.
Yeah, man. It's crazy, you know. And then you know I had my cousin, one of them hit the lottery years ago.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, you know, they hit that lottery. So, you know, theirs was good because it lasted them over a course of time. You know, like 23 years, you was going to get a portion of the payment. And right. At that time, the Powerball, there was no other option. You couldn't cash out.
Ah. And,
you know what I mean? You couldn't cash out of it right away. You had to take it in the settlements, you know, the payments over a course of time. And then, and I think that saved a lot of people because getting the cash without a real plan, not knowing who to trust, you know, not having a team on your side, you know, ready to look out for your best interest. I mean, that's a nightmare in itself, man. You are instantly a businessman, an entrepreneur, whether you even wanted to go this route, because now your job is to protect your assets. Because if you just put it into a bank account, you're going to get taxed and hit hard.
Oh, God.
And every year you'll be paying money on your own money. So then you get crazy and just go out and start buying stuff. Horrible investments, and then you end up losing a lot of money. Golly.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is a whole nother part of delayed gratification being a great key to wealth, because if you're growing slow, you can take the time to really be to educate yourself, you know, get the right people around you. Talk to somebody else who's been there and screwed it up, you know what I'm saying, so that you can not make the mistakes along the way, you know what I'm saying. That inevitably do turn around and nail you. I remember I heard Exhibit, the rapper Exhibit, talking about his story on the podcast, and the interviewer was talking, what asked him, and the question was something along the lines of, I remember you had an IRS issue, you know, how did you come back, you know, from that $1 million deficit? Mm-hmm. And he chuckled and he said, it was two. And
you paid it.
and then he went down and started talking about, you know, he got his business in order and got his business structure right, because he was taking checks in his name. His business manager at the time was taking checks in his name. You know, money wasn't getting put back. It wasn't going through an LLC to get broken down to, you know, it was, you know, and he went through all that. So he ended up, that's how he got into the first company where he was doing brass knuckles, because he does weed now, you know, well legally anyway. And he sold that brand, and now he's doing pre-rolls. He's out in California somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, doing pre-rolls, and he was just talking about it, and I'm sitting there thinking, God, man, $2 million to the IRS make me feel like the mine ain't, you know, it. Mine ain't that bad. Mine is big for me, but...
it doesn't matter what you owe to the IRS, man. It is stressful. It's painful.
It is.
You're not doing the right thing, boy.
Yeah, or even when you make a mistake, you know what I'm saying? The short version is I shouldn't have been doing my own taxes.
yeah, exactly. Right?
Unless
you're just doing it real simple. You start trying to really, really get too smart to itemize and everything and throwing in all of this without receipts, It comes back, man. Where's your proof of all of this?
Even if you got proof, you just filled it out wrong.
Yeah, true. Then you owe money back.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? And once again, it's all about learning and growing and all of that.
Yeah.
You know, but I definitely want to be on the right side of this information. I mean, because a lot of people I look out here, man, and I hate to really just talk. Well, no, I don't. I was about to say I hate to talk bad about them, but I don't. But a lot of these people with these six-figure followings, they are honestly just, well, I know, let me talk about the crypto space for a minute. and just for the sake of, you know, we're coming up for our last few minutes here, so I just want to kind of put this out here and wrap it all up, all along in the same thing. One of the whole points of this is to talk about not only finance, but to go through and talk about, you know, life issues and mindset, like stuff we're talking about now, you know, and to provide the things that'll make somebody just step back and be like, wait a minute, hold on. You know, I really want the brain to come back and think. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, about the stuff that you're saying, I really want, you know, it to strike that chord. Because these people with these six-figure followings on the crypto space anyway, they're paid to talk about the coins that they talk about, for example. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just like, on these channels where people are doing product reviews, the link that they have in the description is an affiliate link.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? They get commission off of these things. You know, when somebody is on there talking about their trading course, and join my Patreon, I can show you all these profitable trades. Now, sure, there may be some people that are giving profitable trades. Here's the thing that they don't say. 90% of traders lose money, no matter what trading they're doing.
That's right.
I mean, that's just the honest to God fact. Now, yeah, a lot of people get the chance to make the most money trading if you're in that 10% of people who can really get it right. 9 out of 10 people don't.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I did a book on it. I did an audio book on it, man. And it was going through one part that just was talking about mindset and the psychology of it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you really have to be emotionally detached. You really have to be committed to a strict set of situations. Right. That, you know, it's really got to be some 1, 2, 3, 4, no matter what's happening. Because if you don't, it's going to throw everything off. And then they started talking about how many trades are actually profitable versus not profitable. And the reason why most people aren't even profitable is because they just can't get their mind around everything. Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of different pieces that you got to put together to really be profitable. But they're not going to tell you that because they want you to join the Patreon for $30 a month.
Yeah, of course. Hey, join my school and I can teach you the real.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, but a channel like this other cat named JT Hustles, who actually be talking about just different, legit, just straight up stuff that you can really do to get out here and make money. He barely got 90, he just got over 90 some thousand followers.
Right.
And this guy's been putting out, you know, from how to be an independent contractor, to how to get the post office contracts, to, you know, and now he's got all type of other stuff out there, you know, appliance repair and, you know, and he broke that whole thing open up when he was talking about that and all this other stuff. But somebody like him, he ain't got the six figures yet. These other people over here talking about a bunch of nonsense, they got multiple six-figure followings.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm coming to being that small minority of people that's going to grow as ringing the alarm saying, you know what? You don't have to be a trader to the 10X your money if that's what you're trying to do. Right. I mean, if you mess around and play with these small, if just like in the stock market, if you play around with those penny stocks and the real volatile ones, you pick a couple winners, you'll be all right. You can come up. Same thing. The same thing in crypto. You pick some of these small cap stuff, you know what I'm saying? Some of the unknown projects, then you can come up, or you can just stick with the the boring things that are going to just be more established and just ride with them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? All this other stuff that these people talking about, it's just crazy and unfeasible a lot of times. Mm-hmm. They got, for example, here's one that you'll really love. I agree with the idea, but they just taking it way off somewhere else. They call it yield farming, right?
Okay.
The idea I like, I'm gonna tell you the concept. The concept is you use your coins, or you know, you use your coins or your fiat. You buy a coin and you provide liquidity for an exchange, for a decentralized exchange, so that when people, you know, so that there's liquidity, people can be able to make trades, right?
Right.
And the exchange you're providing liquidity for gives you a kickback.
Right.
You know, they give you a part of the fee.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Sounds good, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool with that part. But here's where it starts to get funky. One company says, well, I'm going to make it easier and I'm going to be a quote unquote aggregator. Okay. So as opposed to you looking for your own yieldings, for your own pool to put your coins in yourself, mm-hmm. you give your coins to them. They give you another coin that don't have no value, but they give that to you as kind of like as proof that you gave them, you know, yours. And then they give you a interest on for you, right?
Okay.
So they will turn, but then it gets real creative because then they turn around and say, well, okay, in this particular pot, we're going to give you 100% APY.
100%
APY. Now, granted, somebody doesn't take the time to read the extra stuff.
Okay.
It's 100% APY based on the amount of participation.
Oh.
That number goes down based on the amount of people in the pool.
Got it.
So it could be, but if it goes, if everybody loaded up, it's not going to be that.
So it's almost like you got to also work to help attract more people into that pool.
But make
the participation go up so you can get the money.
Yeah, but not too much, because if too many people get in there, the pool is going to automatically drop the APY. So when you really, it gets better. Some genius decided, well, I'm going to go and lock up my coins with this company. They give me another coin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take that coin. I'm going to put that over in this pool and lock that up and get them to give me another coin. Then I'm going to take that coin and I'm going to go over there and put that coin with them and let them give me another yield.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to sit back and try to collect all of this stuff from all of these different coins. And this is not even talking about, number one, that's just insane. First and foremost. I'm just like, I read this in an article and I just really couldn't, only way I believe that people are actually doing this, I could pull up the chart, you know, because it's distributed ledger technology, you can actually, you know, see what's happening. And I'm like, there are actually people getting into this damn thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you could see the chart and the price going up, and I'm like, people are really doing this? Are they not? I'm sitting there thinking, are they not doing the math?
Right.
But that got me, that inspired me to like, wait a minute, man. The one thing that people aren't thinking about, they done threw fundamentals out the window.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a new thing. They're not talking about it a lot, but I just did a video about it on my YouTube channel, and I call it pump-a-mentals.
Okay.
Not fundamentals, but pump-a-mentals.
Right.
Now, a pump-a-mental is pretty much, well, to make it real short, is this bullshit sellable?
Right.
Because that's really all it is. Right now, man, they got people creating damn coins off of fucking food.
Yeah.
I kid you not. There was one that just fell apart called Hot Dog. Somebody went out and created a damn hot dog coin. And a bunch of idiots went and invested in that shit because the chart went like all the way up like this.
Right.
And then it staggered for a minute. And then it dropped all the way back down. One day.
Wow.
And it was gone. Now, we're not going to... And then there was this other guy. And I'm just like... I understand people are greedy. And that's where this pump-a-mental thing come in. It's really just about... is this thing believable? And is the hype strong enough?
Right.
Even though they don't have a product. Even though they don't have a believable roadmap, even though they may have just simply copied the code of one and just literally cloned it something else and put a food name on top of it.
Right.
This literally just happened.
Yeah.
I tell you the 2-second version of this one. You're going to love this. This is like some American Greed type of stuff, but nobody goes to jail.
Right.
There's already one particular decentralized exchange that's real popular. A decentralized exchange, essentially the short version, no middleman.
Right.
You know, it's not like TD Ameritrade. Right. But you send it to TD Ameritrade and you got everything go through them. Decentralized is just straight.
Right.
You to whatever you buy. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, that's been out there for a minute. They have an open source code. This other guy who's anonymous intentionally went through, copied their code, created the same damn thing, went through, wrote code to plug in and steal some of their liquidity. Well, not steal it literally. We'll get to that part in a minute. He wrote code to be able to tap into the same liquidity pools that the other one was already doing, already had, right? Put a doggone name, a food name in front of his, and then after it started, and then he created a token to go along with his so that people who provided liquidity to his would get this token that he created, right? Mm-hmm. After the project got to be big, he suddenly decided that he wanted to leave the project. Mm-hmm. And guess what left when he left? About $6 million worth of coins.
Wow. Wow.
And he sends out a tweet saying, "I did not exit scam. I merely turned the project over to this other company."
Right.
But then of course, because it's the blockchain, distributed ledger technology, somebody pulled up the doggone block where it showed all of the coins from his coin that he created that was moved from one address to the other address to the exchange that was converted. And everybody's like, "Hold on, you left with $6 million. And this was always an anonymous developer.
Wow. Somebody need to go to jail.
And it would be nice.
Somebody need to go to jail.
You know, and I said all that to say, pump-a-mentals are essentially it's one of those things that you don't even want to be able to really call a metric or an indicator, but it's undeniable right now.
Right.
You know, I mean, and not only in crypto, but even over in the regular stock market. Let's look at what happened with Hertz, man.
Yeah.
Hertz was bankrupt.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
They were literally bankrupting doggone people, buying up the damn stock.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there like, don't these people know that a bankrupt company, the stock is worthless?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, you are literally buying trash. Don't. I mean, you know, and I get it. If people want to speculate and all that, I get it. You know, it could be a cool thing. You know what I'm saying? If you keep it in this category, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It can be exciting and all of this. You can get an adrenaline rush and fuck with all that if that's what somebody's into. But yeah. I mean, but come on, man.
And most people are like that. I mean, it's all about the activity. It's all about, you know, doing something that makes you feel good to do, but at the same time, it's not worth, you know, what you think it's worth. Or even if you don't think it's worth nothing, you're still just fooling other people with your activity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then a lot of them think that, okay, if I create enough activity, kick up enough dust, then other people are going to invest in me and think that I'm really doing something great. And eventually it could turn into some money. but what you're really doing is nothing but kicking up dust.
Literally. Literally, man. And that's another one of the reasons, man, to bring it all back around. And right. I said all of that to say that's the whole point of these type of conversations. You know, to be able to just say, man, it looks real good to be able to develop a project and be immoral, because at the end of the day, the reason why most of these people ain't gonna go to jail is because it's not illegal, it's immoral.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's immoral. You know what I'm saying? It's a business that they said the code was unaudited, and that you can see because it's open source that the admin, that the administrator and developer was unknown and not disclosed.
Right.
You can see that he's the only one that had, because it shows it in the code somewhere, that there's a password to this, you know what I'm saying, to right. the wallet where holds all of the money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So all of this stuff, because all of this stuff is seen, you know, it's from the standpoint of people that's going in are going in eyes wide open.
Yeah.
You know.
And you also got to consider the fact that most law is reactive. So they're so far behind in technology. You know, it takes a crime before the law can really come in effect. So some of the things that we don't consider, you know, as a crime right now, it's all because it's so new and law is not prepared to actually come up with real law for it. Eventually they will, but then guess what? Crime is going to move on into something different.
That's a fact.
Always be crime.
Yep. And the one thing that I can say, and that's the whole point of these episodes, is you don't have to be greedy like that, man. Because a lot of people fall for that stuff because they look past the anonymous developer. They right. look past he's the one with the key to the doggone, might as well say the key to the vault.
Right.
No, it's not. There's nothing. There's no other governance in place to make sure that it's a project that keeps going.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then it's built on top of all of this other. You can see it's a clone.
Yeah, you see it.
I mean, I don't write code like that. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is just like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, they didn't even, and it's not like they tried to build something on top of it to improve the interface. No, they just did clone, different name, and then rug pull. I was like, damn.
That's it.
$6 million later, he's like, I didn't exit scam. Okay. And I'm not a black guy with a deep voice. Got it. Yeah.
Prove it.
Exactly, you know, and that's why I put out another video the day before yesterday, you know, talk about the market is on sale. You know what I'm saying? When the market dips, you know, just going to dig into the good projects that's already out there that's going to be around.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Dollar cost average. It'll be okay. You know what I'm saying? They ain't got to chase all this nonsense. Even if you don't, I mean, think about this, man. Even if somebody was dollar cost averaging into the stock market right when the pandemic started, up until now, do you see how far up that damn thing is right now?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, man, I just wish people would not just fall for this nonsense. Of course, they still are. But if a couple people can cannot be too greedy, and take the time to breathe, because don't get me wrong, when they said 100% APY, I was like, ooh, and then I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, wait a minute now, hold on. I can count a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, wait a minute. You know, let's start to ask the question. Okay, how are they gonna pay this out? How's this really gonna work out? You know, what if all of this stuff start to fall in value? I mean, because we got big swings over here in this market.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We could get a 30% swing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to the downside, you know, and then a 40% pop the next day or something. I mean, it's so I'm like, oh, y'all stacking this stuff up like that. I'm like, it just don't, like, no, man, that just don't feel right now. I mean, you know, and next thing you know, yam crashed. And I'm like, oh, there you go.
Yeah, you didn't know that was coming? I didn't see that coming.
Exactly. And, it, you know, and I'm like, yo. So, but anyway, we are definitely at our time, man. And I'm going to cut this one, man. Was there anything you wanted to add before we shut it down?
No, man, I'm just, hey, in a world spin right now with some of the conversations that we just had, it's amazing on how things get to be. You know what I mean? It's like you know it's coming, but you still allow it to come until it grows. And then you say, how do I stop it? It's too big now. You know what I mean? It's like, we as a society, we gotta laugh at it. I mean, we created most of the things that we have happening right now, and we saw it coming even when it was small, and then now it's big, and we wonder what.
Yep, my thing. Yep.
Too smart, man.
Yep.
But that's what's up, Rich, man. Let me get up out of here. I gotta run out to the store and things now.
Oh, absolutely, man. I definitely appreciate you, man. And I'm going to obviously put this one out and, you know, keep this thing rolling. I'll link your website and every one of the videos and every one of the everything I put out. You know, your absolutely. Stuff is always in there.
That's and, what's up.
Yeah, so I will catch you on the next one, man. Appreciate you.
All right, dog.
All right.
All right, out.
The Too Rich to Miss Podcast.